very well-known verse. In fact, maybe I'll have you turn to Romans chapter number 10 because you know the other verse so well. Romans chapter number 10 this morning. For the next couple of Sundays, we're going to take a little break from the life of Joseph. I meant to last week, but just really felt pressed of the Lord to look at his life one more time and see what we saw last week in chapter number 43. But today and next week, as we are focusing some concentration on the fact that there exists a mission left by Christ for us in this world, to go you into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he told them to begin at Jerusalem, then on to Judea, then Samaria. And then he said, go to the uttermost part of the world. It might be difficult for us to understand this, but at the time that Christ said that, Americas would have been definitely uttermost part of the world. It would have been an uttermost land. And we have seen that God, in his great grace, has decided to use his gospel and his word so magnificently in a land that was one time called perhaps the uttermost, but now is likened maybe unto a spiritual Jerusalem, a place where God's word is just abounding so many places, so many things. And we're going to be looking here today about this wonderful thing in which we do, which we call, which we are trying to be a part of in our lives and in our church, and that is in the area of missions, of missions. You're in Romans chapter number 10, but I wanted to start off with asking this question, and that is simply this, is why do we do missions? What's the purpose? What's the reason? Why give? Why go? Why pray? Why have them in? Why have a missions conference? And I don't think that it takes a real dedicated, knowledgeable, or wise old Christian to figure that one out. Amen? That's the reason I didn't have you turn to the first text, which was John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the what? World that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's very obvious that people are lost in the world that we are around, that are around us, and we need to send that message of the gospel across the world in the best ways that we know how. Get the message out. And you and I, at this very particular juncture, as we sit here in this nice auditorium that we're in, are not doing that. You say, whoa. Don't take that critically. I don't mean it to be critical. What I mean to me is very literal. Right now, at this very moment, you're not in China. Am I right? If you do think that, we can talk after service, okay? You're not in Argentina. You're not in Czechoslovakia. You're not in Alaska. You're not in Australia. I'm just looking back there. You're not in Thailand. You're not in Mexico. You're not in Papua New Guinea or in Africa. You're not in the prison ministry or up in Canada, or nor are you printing Bibles up in Shelbyville, Tennessee, or you're not in Greenland or in Brazil or in Haiti. You're not in any of those places at this very juncture. And you might be, God might call you to that one day, and that would be a wonderful thing. That would be a great thing. And that'd be obviously a goal in which I think our church should have, to see our church be used to not just give and pray for missionaries, but to eventually one day, by God's grace, to send out missionaries into the world that is around us and tell other people about the good news. And John 3:16, I think, is really the all-encompassing verse on missions. It's because God, as some people have said, was the first missionary. You know what a missionary is? It's just somebody that's sent out to do a particular work. And the first missionary, no doubt, was God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he might become sin in the flesh. He might condemn sin in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That was what God did. For God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us his Son. He sent us his Son.
so that we, in turn, could hear that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. And as Romans says, as I had you turn to it just a second ago, in Romans chapter number 10 and verses number 13 through 15, the Bible is very clear about it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? I was just talking today that, aren't you glad that you didn't have to go to Bible college to be saved? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to learn a whole bunch of things about this or that to be saved? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to know the ins and outs of what reconciliation, justification, redemption, and all those great, wonderful words of our Christian faith? Aren't you glad you didn't have to know all the ins and outs of all of those things? You had to know this, didn't you? That you were a sinner, Christ came to die for your sins, and that he died on a cross, shed his blood, was buried in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again, right? And that's what you did. You took that by simple faith. You believed upon that. And so in doing so, you called upon him and you were saved. But look at the what happens after this. He says now in verse number 14, he says, how then? He's asking us a question to consider something. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's kind of difficult, don't you think? How can somebody that is in Alaska, that as Brother Paul Bach flies from one town to the next, how can they that are in that particular village that have no perhaps gospel witness there, how can they believe on somebody or call upon somebody in whom they have never believed in? They don't know who it is. They don't know who to believe upon. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he asked another question in 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Our church now has a duty, has a responsibility to go and to send those preachers of gospel and help them in along the way. To teach them the good news of salvation, to let them know that Christ saves and that God is good and that people need the Lord and that like Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, and Mark, all of them went about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here, how do we do that at Scenic Hills Baptist Church? I'm going to admit to you today that today's message is a little out of the ordinary, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. In fact, in the 9 years that I've been pastor here, I don't think that I've ever really quite done a message like this. It's going to be a lot of teaching involved with this and some explanation of some things. So I hope that you'll hang on with some things as we look here in the Word of God of why we do what we do. You know, I think I've been guilty of in the past to say, you know what, we ought to give to missions. Amen? You know, but it's like, yeah, that's great, preacher. But why do this? Why pray for these people? Why give to them? And why help them out? And if I can, I feel that maybe even today in this message that I'll probably be a little bit more liberal with my speech than I normally am, or perhaps I would have been even 5, 6, 7 years ago. Because I do feel like our church is at a place now to where we can begin to give in a way that God is pleased. And not to say you're not doing that now. I'm just saying that God would want you to give. He desire for you to give. And I'm not the type of person, you can look over the sermons that are on sermon audio right now, and I'm just not the type of person to just preach on money every single week either. That's just not my style, and I just don't think that's the way it is. And, you know, I try to say a little plug at the offering time, you know, that give as God has given unto you. If God's given to you, you give back to God. God will bless you, and I believe that with all my heart, not just according to the Word, because that says it there, but also according to my own experience. I've seen God use the gifts that I've given to God in a very good way. But how do we build a sustainable program of missions to help, to give, and to pray for those people that are on the field? Number one, one way that we do that is that we have monthly mission teams that come through. Now, some of you saw dear brother, Brother Adam Perlstein come in last month, and him and his wife are going to go plant a church in Seattle. And we're having some teams come in this month specifically for the conference, and we'll have a team every single month throughout the year that is just going to be here for us to show us what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people to get the gospel around the world. Why do we do that? What's the purpose of that? It's to help us to keep the mindset of this. Are you ready? This is big. It's going to blow your mind here. You ready? People are lost. That's why we have them around, because if we're not careful, we'll get into the mindset that what matters is this little area right here or this particular church right here. And this church does matter. I'm not saying that. But we have to understand that there's a lot more people outside of this little area and this church and this town and this area and this state and this country and this continent and this world. There is a lot of people that exist out there. There are over 1 billion people in China. There are over 1 billion people in India. Do you know what the third place on that list is? It's us, America, at 300 million. At 300 million. It would take more than 3 Americas to equal 1 India. It would take 4 Americas to equal 1 China. That's how many people are over there that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why have Brother Tolson come in? Why have Brother Smith come in going to the military? Why have them come in and tell us about what's going on around the world? It's to keep them for our eyes that people are lost. Just like Paul went down to Antioch and told them he went from Antioch down to Jerusalem to tell them the good news that the Gentiles in Laodicea, Colossae, Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus are getting saved, and they rejoice in the glory and those wonderful things. And we ought to do the exact same thing. But another reason is this. It's so that, as John says it in 3 John chapter number 3, or excuse me, verse number 1, chapter number 1, verse number 16, you should turn there. 3 John 1, 6. 3 John 1, 6. Do you like to do good things? I do. I like doing good things. I think it's good to do good. That's terrible grammar, but nonetheless, it's good to do well. It's good to do well. It's good for us. And in 3 John chapter number 1, in verse number 6 through 8, you wouldn't believe it, but did you know there is a mission's purpose statement stuck right there in the middle of those little verses, of that little bitty chapter? He says there in verse number 6, it says, which have borne witness. He's talking to Gaius here about his charity. He says, there's been a witness of your charity before the church, he says in verse 6. Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. What's been his charity? It's been this, is that he has helped both strangers and people that he's known in the gospel ministry, and he has brought them forward after a godly sort. What in the world does that mean? We don't talk like that anymore, do we? What that means is this. Missionaries, preachers, evangelists came to preach to them. And you know what they did? They took out their wallets, their billfolds, they took out their purses, they opened up their homes, they opened up their stoves, their ovens, they got into the granaries, they went down to the fatted calf, they made some meals, they got some things ready, they gave their money, they gave their time, they gave their influence in order to help somebody and bring them forward to the next place where they needed to go. When somebody comes here to Scenic Hills Baptist Church to share the good news that God is using them to maybe use them around the world, maybe like Paul Bach going to Alaska, hey, you know what we do? We say, praise the Lord, that's great, we're awesome, that's awesome to hear you do that. Here's a place to stay, here's a meal to eat, and here's a little money in your pocket to bring you on to the next place so you can tell somebody else what you're doing so that you can move on and get to Alaska and tell more people about Jesus Christ. Why do we do missions? Why do we have these people come through? Secondly, why do we even do a Faith Promise Missions Conference? Why even do a conference at our church? Well, obviously, we'll go back to our first most obvious point. People are what? Lost. People are lost. And the conference is a one-time-a-year thing. It could be a conference. I've done it before where we've had every single Sunday for a month, have a meeting, a missions meeting every Sunday, and just promote missions. It's a time where we just simply focus in on one thing, aspect of the church, and that is missions and missionaries, getting the gospel to the regions beyond, if you will. Another reason is because we're going to talk about it here in a second. We collect these little cards right here. These little faith mission cards, faith promise missions cards. Another reason is to highlight missionaries that we don't know, to highlight missionaries that we do know. It's also, as I said earlier, one of the main goals of Scenic Hills Baptist Church. We cannot be a Dead Sea, folks. We cannot be a Dead Sea. The Dead Sea receives and never gives. And we cannot remain a Dead Sea. We cannot do that. We cannot just keep receiving all of these missionaries unless we begin to pray and ask God to maybe send somebody out from us and get somebody else out there. You say, who is it going to be? I don't know who it is. It might be one of your children. It might be one of my children. But we need to be praying that God would pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest, the Bible says. That was Christ's prayer request. And thirdly, another reason why we do a missions conference is simply this, to encourage us that, you know what, there are people around us that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when I am put in front of me and it is made apparent to me that there are lost people in Alaska, in the prisons, in Mexico, in China, in other places, you know what? It obviously says to me too, it says, you know what? There are lost people around you too, Matthew. There are lost people around you too, and you need to tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and get out there and let them know that Christ saves and do what you can to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what? It doesn't have to be awkward or weird. You know, there's a guy that came to our church the other day. You know who he is. He's called the Bug Man. Nobody knows his name. Everybody just calls him the Bug Man, all right? His name's Gary, all right? Gary, first time I seen Gary, Gary walks into the building and he sprays around. He's a real good guy, real nice guy. I don't know anything about Gary, but he's a nice guy, okay? That's the only thing I know about Gary. And he's really sweet, really kind. He was a former law enforcement officer for 30 years. And he asked the guy that he's working for that is one of his good friends. He said, hey, I want a job where I have no responsibilities but to make people happy. And to get rid of people's bugs, that seems to make people happy. So, okay, for 30 years, I was always going into places as a parole officer and people were not happy to see me, he said. And so I want to go into somewhere where people are happy to see me, okay? So he said, put me in a position like that. So that's what he did, all right? And so I was talking to Gary afterwards and everything. And I'll tell you, it doesn't have to be weird. I'll tell you, it doesn't. But God just puts it upon my heart. Hey, what about Gary? Is Gary a saved man? He might be a good man, a nice person. God said, hey, you know, there's some tracks over here, but why don't you give them a gift? And I had a little book over there by a guy named Kerry Schmidt, and it's a little book, a little tiny little booklet called Done, and it explains the gospel very clear and very plain. And I said, hey, Gary, I don't know if you go to church or anything, but, you know, inside this little book right here, if you'll read it, it can let you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven through Jesus Christ. You think you would mind reading this and going over it with you and just looking over it? He said, sure, I'd love that. You know, I don't know if Gary's read the book yet. That was a week ago or so. But I'm just saying that encouraging others to get the gospel out doesn't have to be weird. It just has to be simple. It just has to be plain. You just put it out there and let them have it. I'll tell you right now, the gospel will produce a taste in somebody's mouth. It does something for somebody, no matter how you give it out. So what is Faith Promise? What is this conference? Why do we do it? What's these reasons? And these are the reasons why. The third thing is this. The big question that I get so many times is, Pastor, what is Faith Promise Missions? What is Faith Promise Missions? I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. And you know what? You're exactly right. You're not going to see that anywhere. Nor will you find the word Trinity either, right? Nor are you going to find the hypostatic union of Christ either. You're not going to find certain things that are real things that you're not going to find it there. But what is Faith Promise Missions? Well, it is simply this. It is the financial program of Scenic Hills Baptist Church that we use to support the work of missions around the world. Once a year, we collect these little cards that they're nice little cards and everything, but you know what? If we don't follow through with the cards that you fill out right here, they're no better than the paper that they're printed on, all right? No better than what they're printed on. This is not like a credit card, okay? You can put $5,000 a week. I'm going to get $5,000 a week to missions on here. Big deal, right? Unless you do it. It doesn't mean anything unless you do what you've told you to do. And what we simply do is we simply say, hey, say, you know what? I promise to give weekly to the Lord my missions offering of, there's $1 on there. $1. All right, could you give $1 a week to the Lord? That's $52 a year. $52 a year. I like preaching on missions and giving to missions because you know why? I'm not asking for a raise. I'm not asking us to build another building. I'm not asking us to remodel the foyer. I'm not asking any of those things. Every cent that is given and every even dollar that comes up here with these little kids that put up in here, every cent of it, and I'm telling you right now, and you can look at the books and you can ask me to look at them and I'd be glad to show them to you, that it goes to missions and missionaries. It doesn't go to anything else. It doesn't go to pay the light bill. It doesn't do anything else. That's what the tithes and offerings are for. The missions is missions. Two separate accounts. And you say, I'm going to give $50 a week. You say, why you keep saying a week? You know, why not a month? Well, think about it this way. You give $50 a week. Let's say you give $100 a month, all right? That's $1,200 a year. Let's say you give $25 a week. You know what you've just given? You've just given $1,300 a year. $1,300 a year. Because of the way it all works out. And you just give more by giving weekly. It just makes sense to do it that late. You say, but what if there's a severe financial collapse? You know, you're basing all of your missions budget upon somebody giving. What if there's a terrible collapse? Or what if five people leave the church? Or what if this? Or what if that? That's why it begins with what's the very first word. It's called what? Faith and promise missions. It's called faith promise missions. We understand those things could happen. We believe those things are going to happen. But it's like what I preached this last week in Genesis chapter number 43. There's Jacob and all of his sons, and they're sitting around, and they're looking at one another. And Jacob says, finds out there's corn down in Egypt, and he says, why look you one upon another? Guys, what are you doing just looking at one another? Get down to Egypt and do something. Get us some corn. Do something. Hey, if we don't do anything, we'll do nothing. That sounds real simple, but if you don't do anything, you'll do nothing. You'll do nothing. You'll do nothing. I'm just saying, we need to step out by faith and say, God, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to get involved with these things and help out with these things. Without faith promise missions, we would have no idea how much we could give to missions, how much we'd like to give to missions, and how much we'd like to help out with missions, and or if we'd like to take on more missionaries. I'll say this too. Faith Promise Missions is not the only program out there, okay? There are lots of ways to give to missions, lots of different ways to give to missionaries and help missionaries. I understand that, but this is the approach that we take here, and I've seen it work, and I've seen it help out, and I've seen it work in people's lives, and I've seen it enrich people's hearts and lives at the exact same time. Now, go over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Now, if you're looking for a way to give to missions, and if you're looking about how in the world did somebody even ever come up with any of these things, well, you know what? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verses chapter 8 and chapter number 9 is how they did. Because God, through Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, gave 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He gave 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as God's financial giving program. There is not one scholar out there, one theological person out there would ever tell you that or could deny that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is about one thing, giving money. All right? Giving money. In this case, particular case, there's a lot of people that disagree on what it was for. Some say it's for mission. Some say it's for Paul's journeys. Some think it was for perhaps, which I think is a good plausible argument, that there were some Jewish people in Jerusalem, that there was a drought there. And there was a famine in Jerusalem, and they needed some extra funds to bring down there to help out those people. That could be a very good possibility. There was could have been any number of those things. But the point of the matter is this, is that the approach here is very biblical and giving. And what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 8 is this. He says these wonderful words, "I speak not by commandment." What I'm telling you today is not a commandment. Does that make sense? I'm not commanding you. I'm not saying to you today, you need to give to missions or you're not right with God. I'm not bounding the pulpit up here and saying that. As I'm not speaking by commandment, all right? But what I am speaking by is this. I'm speaking, he says, by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Not the sincerity of your obedience, but the sincerity of your love. Do you love missions? Then give to missions. Do you love missionaries? Then give to missionaries. You believe in missions? Then give to missions. And not only that, but he says to the Corinthians, he says, I am proving also the forwardness of others. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he's not talking about the Corinthians. He's talking about the people in Macedonia. People like the Philippians who gave out of their poverty. They gave abundantly out of their poverty, even as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1 and 2, where he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." He's telling him, he says, the Philippian people, the Macedonian people, they gave even out of their poverty. Out of their own poverty, they gave to missions to help in this endeavor. And they begged of us to take this particular gift that he gave to them. I love missions, my friend. I started Faith Promise Missions long before I came here, about 2 or 3 years before this, before I came to Scenic Hills Baptist Church. We had a Faith Promise Missions conference. I didn't know anything about Faith Promise Missions at all right? We had this guy come in, his name was Dr. Jerry Mullendore. He's since gone home to be with the Lord. And Brother Mullendore came in, he preached some messages on missions, and man, just really got a hold of my heart. I always loved missionaries, but, you know, I never gave anything to missions, you know. I maybe gave a $5 bill or a $10 bill every once in a while when a missionary would come through or something like that, but not on a consistent basis. I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to give $25 a week. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm making $400 a week right now. I'm going to give $25 a week. That's what I'm going to do. Man, I thought I was doing good. And I thought, man, $25 a week, man, I am doing really good here. I kind of patted myself on the back. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was a little prideful. I was boastful, okay? I know none of you have ever been like that before. I got about 6 or 8 weeks into that thing, and I got real guilty. Because I was like, man, I'm not even missing the $25. I'm not missing it all. So you know what I did? I did a real spiritual thing. I went to $35. So, I mean, I just said, man, I got to give a little bit more. And God, I'm telling you, God over the years has helped me to increase that over the years and see him use that in a very awesome and unique way and see him let the shoes go a little bit longer maybe, or maybe the car not break down, or maybe that medical bill get paid for, or maybe that trip that I was planning on taking was paid for, or maybe something in some way. God always gives back, because God is not a debtor to anybody, my friend. He's not a debtor to anybody. And if you give to him, he will surely pay back. God is a good God. He's a wonderful God. And these people gave. They gave. And it says here, I think, and you're in 2 Corinthians, so you should turn over to 2 Corinthians, not 8, but 2 Corinthians 9. And if you're looking for a theme verse, the key verse that goes along with missions, then I think verses number 6 and 7 are really it. All right? He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You give little to missions, you'll reap little. All right, you'll reap something, but it'll just be sparingly. You give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But here's the key verse. And if you don't grab anything else today, if you somehow miss everything else and you have to come to me later on and say, preacher, I didn't get anything you said. All right, would you get verse number 7? Would you put this in your heart? Because if you don't have verse number 7, you've totally missed missions and you've totally missed out on giving to the Lord as it is anyhow at all. You've missed the boat on it. Every man, according as he, here it is, purposeth it in his heart. It's in your heart to give. It's purposing in your heart to give. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Not of necessity. Look what he says. For God loveth a what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. That's the problem with arm twisting. If I twist your arm to give, then you've given wrong. And I've done wrong by making you give that way. Because that's an unbiblical way to give. When Moses asked of the people of Israel to give to the work of the tabernacle, you remember how they gave? Freely. Moses even got to the place that, hey, I say, hey, it's enough. We've got too much. We've got way too much. And I've always tried to have a balanced approach with this program and make sure that we don't overemphasize it, but we do emphasize it. And I think that probably I've been on the latter side of that I have not emphasized it enough and let us know that this is an important work that I believe that God is calling us to, that God is wanting us to be involved with. And as I said, what you write down on this and what you promise to give is only as worth as much as it is on this piece of paper right here if you don't give. If you say, I'm going to give $1,000, I'm excited, man, I'm going to give $1,000 a week, man, and you make $20,000 a year, I'm just saying, God can do amazing things, all right? But what I'm saying is this, is that make sure you give as God would want you to give. Don't give because you're excited or, no, ask God to help you in this thing. I speak not by commandment. Look what he says here in chapter number 8 and verse number 10. And herein I give my advice. Isn't it pretty cool that Paul gave us his advice? I'm going to give you some advice. This is expedient for you. You should do this, he says. Who have begun before, not only to do so, you started this thing, but you were even involved with this thing also to be forward a year ago. You started this. That's why we do this every year. So that we can say, you know what? We started this thing and we're going to keep going with it. We're not going to stop with it. Now he says in verse number 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. Give as you said you would give. Do as you said you would do. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Isn't there so many people that are out there that are so ready to give, but whenever the offering plate comes by, they're like, yeah, I don't know if I can perform, you know? I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I can. A lot of times we're ready and willing of heart, but God wants us to give, not just be ready to give, not just have a heart to give, but actually to give in the way that God has asked us to do so. Finally, some final aspects of giving. I would encourage you, as I said, to give weekly. 1 Corinthians 16 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you who lay by him in a store as God hath promised him. Give weekly. Give to God weekly this thing. Currently, we support 16 missionaries, okay, financially, some at $50, some at $100 a month. I think the actual goal that we ought to have is that we ought to have at least, because $50 a month is not very much money when you consider it. We ought to at least consider saying, you know what, Pastor, I think we ought to be able to give at least $1,600 a month to these missionaries. Not a person, okay, I mean $1,600 a month, $100 each. I think that we should just say, you know, I think that's just something that we should do. We've got these folks, we've committed to helping them out. And then I think we should pray and say, God, perhaps you would want us to help take on some more, to financially support some more. You're looking around, you say, man, I don't think we could support anymore. I don't know if we could help anymore out. You know what? I think that says, you know what? I don't have a lot of faith. I think we can. I think we can do more than what we really think we can do sometimes. Sometimes we can't do because we just simply don't do it, or we don't believe that we can do it. Our church is really at a realistic size. In fact, I'll say this too, is that I saw one program of missions happen where a church gave, their missions program was to give 10% of their annual budget to missions, all right? That was their mission, all right? I saw that exact same church follow through with that principle. They still did that. And then they started doing Faith Promise missions. And you know what? That increased beyond the 10%. It went beyond the 10%. And I'll even say this, that church that was running about 150, we almost, as this church right now and the size we are, almost give as much to missions now as they did when only giving 10%. I'm just saying that Faith Promise is something that works. God uses it. God blesses it. And God works through it. And if you decide to get into this program and get involved with this thing, which I would encourage you, which I'm telling you should, because I'm putting it out there, dedicating a whole entire Sunday. I struggled with this for almost 2 weeks and thinking, should we talk about this? Should we deal with this? And this is what God would want us to be involved with. Make sure you start small, maybe. Start small. Say, you know what? I don't know how much I can give, but I can give $10 a week. I can give 20, I can give 30. I don't know what your small is. Every one of us have different smalls, don't we? But whatever it is, let God use that thing. And maybe God will show you, hey, I can be trusted with this. I can be trusted with this. Give some more. Help out more. As I said, this money goes right to missions. Right to missions. You say, how do I do it, preacher? It's very simple. You say, I'm going to give this amount a month. And we're not going to take these up today. We're going to take these up at the end of the conference. If you're not here for the end of the conference, tear this little slip off and put it in the next Sunday. You say, I'm going to give $50 a week. Right, go back there and grab you a little envelope like this right here that says Faith Promise Message right there. Put $50 bill inside of there or whatever you do, two 20s and a 10. I don't care if you put $51 bills in there. We just don't usually work on pennies and quarters, Miss Ray. Put that in there and write 50 on there. The only way we'll know here at our church if you're going to give to missions by cash and is if you'll put it and mark it here on the envelope. That's it. Put it on there on the envelope and say, hey, we're going to do that. Hey, another way you can do that is write a check out, $50, and write in the memo, missions. Write your tithe and your missions at the exact same time and write $50 tithe, $50 missions, or whatever it is. And put that down in the minimum. All I'm saying is this, give unto the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, in reality, I don't believe, and this is, I can't believe I'm even saying this almost. I don't believe in tithing. I believe that tithing is a good place to start. Abraham gave tithes of the Lord. Jacob gave tithes of the Lord. The Levites gave tithes. Jesus did not rebuke the Pharisees for giving tithes to the Lord. You know what the New Testament plan of giving is? The widow with two mites. Giving sacrificially. Do we want to go back to early church, right? Where they sold houses and lands and brought it all to the Lord? I'm just saying that I don't believe in tithing because I don't believe that that's the place that a lot of people in churches and a lot of people that are Christians say, you know what, I tithe my 10% and that's all I'm ever going to do for the Lord. I don't think that's a right heart. I can't find anywhere in the New Testament that that's a right heart to have. I can't find it in the Old Testament that's a right heart to have. A right heart to have is to say, God, right here it is. It's all yours, every bit of it. Every bit of it. I don't own anything. I'm just a steward, God. What do you want me to do with my money? You tell me. You ask me. And so today I'm not asking you, to ask questions or to debate about it or just faith promises. I'm just asking you to ask God, pray to God, God, what would you want me to do? What would you desire for me to do? Because here's the deal. When the rubber meets the road, in America, we spend more on dog food than we do on missions. In America, we way overspend on TV, entertainment, cell phones, and computers than we do on missions at all. We spend way more money on all of those things. And I just personally, I'm speaking personally here. I'm speaking very liberally to you that I can't imagine personally getting to heaven one day, all right? And though my daughter loves that little pixie thing that she's got over there, all right? I can't imagine getting to glory one day and knowing and going through the steward, going through the accounting book there and finding out that I spent more on my dog than I did for lost souls. And that might hurt a few of you this morning. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You might really love your animal, and I'd have no problem with that at all. No issue with you loving your animals. That's fine. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, the Bible says. But here's the deal. Is that my dog is not going to be in heaven. But I'll tell you this, there's some China person over there that's going to be in heaven or hell. There's somebody in Alaska that's going to be in heaven or hell. There's somebody in Mexico that's going to be in heaven or hell. That's the deal. And I can't find out, I can't justify that I'm going to spend more on cable, on internet, on entertainment than I am on missions. That's just me personally. I'm speaking very liberally to you this morning. I'm not speaking by commandment, okay? I'm just telling you what is personal for me, my conviction. I can't see that because I'm accountable. I am a man, and you are a person that's been given 10 talents or 5 talents or 1 talent, and you give as God gives to you. And if you've been given little, then that's fine. Give little. There's no problem in that. There's no issue in that. There's no problem in giving $1 to missions if that's what you can afford to give, if that's what God has called you to give. There's no issue in that at all. But if you made $1 million a year, I don't think that somebody could say that $1 would be enough. Because you see, in our life, many times we spend more on coffee at Starbucks than we do on missions. You realize that an average drink at Starbucks costs $5. $5. Do you know some people spend that every single day? And if you do that, and you've got the money to do that, I'm not against you. All right? That's fine. That's okay. But do you think it's okay to spend more there than you do on missions? I'm asking you a question. I know these are maybe tough questions, but I'm mentioning all this today because I want you to understand that God is concerned about his program. He is concerned about it, and he loves missions because he was the first missionary. And if you will give, Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, the promise of giving to the Lord is found in Philippians 4:19, where he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The reason I want you to give is not because I want something from you or I need something from you or not even those missionaries need something from you, because the Bible says not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound unto your account. You say, I don't want you to give. I don't want you to tithe or give to missions for me or myself or anything. The reasons I would want you to give is for your own blessing. Because that fruit may abound unto your account, so that you may be supplied by the riches of Christ Jesus. The promise of being supplied by the riches of Christ Jesus only comes after the fact of people giving as unto the Lord. That's when it comes. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be helped. I want you to serve the Lord with fearfulness and godliness and godly sincerity and give as unto the Lord. Because of what he's given to you. Of what he's given to you. And in reality, if I went to the bank, if I went down to the credit union tomorrow, to UHCU,
and I withdrew every penny. And I went out to my shed and I sold everything. And I went into my house and I sold all my furniture. And I got rid of every single thing that I had so as to maybe not deprive my children of a good night's rest or to not eat. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. And I emptied it all out and I gave it to God. It still wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. Some people don't call it faith promise giving. They call it grace giving. I like that term. They call it grace giving. They're just simply giving out of the fact that God has been so gracious to them. Been so good to them. And so in some small part, they want to show to God that, you know what, God, you've been good to us. We want to bless you by helping these people that you've called to serve the Lord around the world. I hope you'll get involved with Faith Promise Missions. I'm not going to have an invitation today. We usually do. I just want you to go home and think about these things. I want you to meditate on them. I want you to pray about them. I want you to pray what God would do for you. God would do through you, I should say. I want you to grab one of these cards that are on the back table if you haven't already. I want you to pray for these missionaries. Because even if you don't have a dime to spend, you know what you do have? You do have two knees. And you've got a bedside. And you can pray. Would you pray what God would have you to do? What the Lord would want you to do? Father, we thank you for this.